you turn to John chapter 14. John 14. Today we conclude our series, The Unexpected Jesus. And we're going to come to a phrase that's probably the most unexpected phrase that Jesus said. But the phrase that we need the most. It's unexpected, but we need it the most. It's probably the most controversial statement that Jesus makes. It's the statement that people say, see, that's why I don't like Christianity. It's also the statement that I think brings the most hope that any of us could have in the message of Jesus. There are lots of people throughout history who have taught love and helped people. But what separates Jesus from everyone else is the claim that he makes here in this passage. So let's take a moment and read the most outrageous, most unexpected, but most loving claims that Jesus makes. John 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Anybody troubled here today? Yeah. Most honest guy right up here. Put his hand up right away. Right? Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else, believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we need your help in these moments that we have to understand these words of life about the Father and the Son. Father, we ask that you would help us by your Spirit to see these claims that your Son made and how they make all the difference in life and the life to come. We ask you for this help in Jesus' name. And everybody said? We live in a world that is deeply troubled. that leaves us deeply troubled. You don't have to turn on the news, but for just a few minutes to realize how deeply troubled we are or ought to be. There's so much going on in the world that leaves us troubled. The question is, what troubles your heart today? What troubles your heart today? We all have things in common that trouble our hearts, that cause us to lose sleep at night, and then we have unique troubles. We have unique troubles. Whether that's troubles in our relationships, troubles in our workplace. So we have trouble in common, but then we have unique troubles. What are those for you? I have a list that troubles me. That's unique to me, but that is in common. Some of those troubles are petty things, right? Like, where am I going to eat today? That troubles my heart. It troubles my heart because I made a poor choice this morning to have donuts for breakfast. Anybody ever make that poor choice? Can I get an amen? Right? You know it's a poor choice when about this time rolls around because you're still hungry, right? It's troubling me right now. I'm thinking about what I'm going to have for lunch. Those are petty things, but then there are serious things, right? Local things, national things, global things that trouble our hearts. What would you add to that list? What would you add to the list of the things that are troubling you? I would encourage you to take a mental note of that or even jot it down right now. What are the things that trouble you? Take a moment. Think about it. Take inventory of the things that are troubling you. For me, personally, it's the loss of an uncle in January, and just this past Thursday, the loss of my best friend's dad. His name's Matt. His dad's name was Bob. Bob was a coach, friend, second dad when I was growing up. The things that we would do, like ramping a Ford F-150 across fields, that Bob let me and my best friend Matt drive at 12 and 13 years old. On that same property, an old farmhouse that he decided he wanted off the property, that we took a sawzall and literally cut in half. And then we hooked the Bobcat up to it on one side and the old F-150 to the other side and put chains on it and pulled it apart, only to realize that we forgot to turn the water off. Those are the memories that I have with Bob, but those things are good memories, but also leave me troubled. Take a moment and take a mental note of the things that are troubling you. In the middle of our hearts being troubled, our hearts are wrestling with unspoken questions. And those unspoken questions really are this: will the center hold? Or will everything collapse around me? Is everything going to be okay? Or is everything going to fall in on top of me? This is the question that Thomas and Philip are wrestling with in this passage, because Jesus, up to this point, has kept on telling them, I am going away. I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified. And we give Thomas and Philip a hard time, much more than we ought to, because they're asking the same questions that you and I are asking. Is basically, is everything going to be okay, or is everything going to collapse? I can't think of a better passage than this passage for us to not only conclude this series, but for us to ponder in the time in which we live right now. Will the center hold? Or will gas prices continue to go up, and will everything collapse around us? Thomas and Philip are wrestling with the question and wondering if they have given everything up for Jesus for nothing. Or is following him worth it, or will everything collapse around them? You see, Jesus' claims here in this passage are true and they are trustworthy. And they make all the difference, and they're unlike any other claims out there. Because his claims not only are truthful, but they're beautiful. You see what John does here in his gospel. John takes troubles and despair, and in one sentence, he turns it. He turns trouble and despair to belief in one sentence. Look at John 14:1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. John takes, for us, trouble and despair and goes to belief in one sentence, in one phrase. The remedy for our troubled hearts and despair for the disciples and for ours is belief. Belief. For the disciples, they are about to witness in the next days the capture, the torture, the crucifixion of Jesus. And right here in this text, he has given them the remedy for their troubles. Belief. Jesus gives them the basis of their belief through the claims that he makes. So for some of us, we're a little bit more simple, right? We're more simplistic. We maybe take things at face value. And for us, maybe that's the word for you this morning. Believe. Believe that God is good. Believe what he says is true. But for some of us, maybe even some of us who tend to be a little bit more simplistic, with the troubles that are troubling our hearts, we need something a little bit more of substance. And so for us this morning, Jesus gives us some unexplained and unexpected claims that help us. Jesus gives them the basis of their belief through the claims that he makes. So let's take a look at these things that make all the difference in life and life to come. That's our big idea today. Jesus' claims make all the difference in life and the life to come. Jesus' claims make all the difference. Right now, you feel troubled. I feel troubled. We have things that maybe keep us up at night or get us up at night. And Jesus' claims right here bring about durability in your life so that whatever comes your way in this life and in the life to come, you have everything you need. Does it in this phrase of saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So claim number one that he makes right here is belief in Jesus as God promises intimacy with God the Father. Belief in Jesus as God promises intimacy with the Father. Look at what he says. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And then he does not go where you think he would go. You think he would go to some mental assent about something. You will feel good. You will know everything you need to know. He doesn't do that. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. This is so sweet. And I absolutely love this because before Jesus appeals to any tasks that you and I need to do for him, before he ever does that, he appeals to our minds and our hearts by pressing belief in him connected to intimacy with the Father. I love this. This is subtle. Jesus doesn't say that the answer for our troubled hearts is doing something religious. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus doesn't say that what you need to do is read your Bible more and pray more and go to church more. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that you need to perform sacrifices for him or sing to him. He says, believe in God and believe in me. Just believe in me. What he's really saying is that you can trust my presence, and trusting in my presence through belief in me gets you access. Getting access to God is not through our religious duties or our religious responsibilities. Getting access to God happens through belief in Jesus. Jesus is saying, you want to know that God is really there? Believe in me. Believe in Jesus. Now, in the Greek, that expression could be either imperative or indicative. Imperative, you should believe in God and also in me. Indicative, you believe in God and you believe in me. Now, that's simple enough for us to understand, but we need to understand who he's talking to. He's talking to a group of Jewish people who would have had a Hebrew understanding of who God was. This is important for us to wrestle with because they believed that God existed before nature, that God was unique. He was not created by anything. He exists in eternity past through eternity future. That's a uniquely Hebrew God thing. You see, the gods of the Western world, the gods that we understand, they made mistakes. They make mistakes. But the Hebrew God is holy and makes no mistakes. So he's saying, believe in me, believe in the God, the Hebrew God, who does not make mistakes. That in spite of what you're about to witness, the things that are troubling your hearts and your minds and keeping you up at night, I make no mistakes. This is important. Not only does he make no mistakes, and he existed before nature and is unique, he is different than the Eastern gods. The Eastern gods were not transcendent. They weren't transcendent. You see, the Hebrew God is transcendent and not lesser, so therefore we can trust him because he is not finite but is infinite. So that is huge for us to understand. When Jesus says right here in this first sentence, let not your hearts be troubled, believe in God. Believe in the God who makes no mistakes and is infinite and is transcendent. Deuteronomy 31:6 says this, be strong and courageous. That's what we want to be in the midst of our troubles. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. He's transcendent. He makes no mistakes. Jesus' claim that we ought to believe in him is not one of intellectual assent that we somehow work our way up to that then moves to one's life. His claim means that everything happens through intimacy. And the promises of his presence are there for us in the midst of whatever we may face. You see, this passage is so good, and the claims that Jesus makes are what we need in this cultural moment that we find ourselves in. Because Jesus is a God who's there, and he's close, and he's intimate, and he makes no mistakes. His purposes will come to pass. Look at what Jesus says happens as a result of belief in him. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. Jesus tells us that he's prepared a place for us. And that place is in the Father's house. Now, This is just a little sidebar. He does not say there's a mansion for you. There's a song out there, I got a mansion somewhere over the hilltop, right? Maybe you go to some old school funeral and you're going to hear that. All right? It's not in here. He's prepared a room for you. Okay? A room. See what we do? We like to take the truth and extend it. I got a mansion, right?
It's a big room.
It's a big room. Maybe it's got a beanbag chair in it. Okay? There's a place prepared for us in the Father's house. No mansions, but a room. God's house is large. You need to hear this. There's more than enough room. There's more than enough room. There's a place for you. It's a home, not a hotel. His children are with him, and there will always be enough room for them. On top of that, there's a room prepared just for you. That means you can trust and believe in him. A couple weeks ago, I went with five of my friends to Zion National Park, and we rented an Airbnb in a town called Laverkan, Utah. It's as amazing as it sounds, okay? And Laverkan, small little town, lots of Mormon wards, and we hung out at this beautiful Airbnb overlooking a canyon, and there were six of us, and there were six bedrooms. And my friend Nathan and I got there first. We went through the house and picked out the room just for us. Nate was kind, and he decided that he would take the only bunk bed in the house. The other bedrooms, there were two bedrooms that had queen beds, and the other bedrooms had king beds. I promptly took a king bed. I am not a bunk bed kind of guy. So Nate, after the first night, regretted his decision. He is as tall as I am, maybe a little bit taller, and each time he woke up, because that's what you do when you stay in a place that you haven't been before, he would sit up and he'd hit his head on the bunk above him. This room was not prepared for him, right? It was not prepared for him in many ways. But this is not like the house that our Father has prepared for us. The heart of God is echoed in these claims that Jesus makes. They are intimate and connect us to the Father through belief in Jesus. And this is good news because intimacy is not connected to your performance. That's a great place to say amen. Intimacy is not connected to our performance. But belief in Jesus. This is so good. We can stop right here. I might. Who knows? This is so good because in our troubled hearts, what we do is we start to grab all the things to try to earn our way out of our situation. And what Jesus is saying is, believe in me. Believe that I don't make mistakes. Believe that I'm transcendent and infinite. And I have all power to create not only the earth that you walk on, but to be with you in your situation. All of us in our fragility who follow Jesus imperfectly should be so comforted and remember that when trouble in our hearts rise, Jesus is saying, trust me. And know you will always have a place in the Father's house. Listen to what he already said in the book. John 1:12, to many as received him, he gave them the power, the right to become the children of God. God gave you the right to be a child of God. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, he has everything that you need for you and your troubled hearts and the place that you need to go to be with him. He has everything and it's connected to just believing in him. Believe in him. You see, his claim promises intimacy. It promises intimacy. He essentially is saying, I am the way to the Father. Believe in me. Jesus is saying, I'm the only way to take God and turn him from being a boss to being a father. See, every other religion leaves God as a boss. Do this or he's disappointed. Follow these rules or he will kick you out. Do these sets of things and earn his favor. Fall out of his favor and he will push you away. That's boss language. Jesus speaks about God not in boss language, but father language. Believe in me, guess what? You're a child of God. You're in the Father's house. He has a room prepared for you. It's only through Jesus that you can go from the fear of God and uncertainty about him to warmth and love from a father. See, even when my kids mess up, they know I may be upset, but they never think for a moment that they'll no longer be my kids. There's so many of us in this room. You need to hear this. I was preparing this message. I was in Happy Creek Coffee in Front Royal and just began to cry as I thought about this. There are so many of us in this room that when we screw up and we fail, we think God is done with us. That couldn't be anything further from the truth. When God looks at us, he sees Jesus and his perfection. He sees our sin and he's disappointed, but he sees Jesus on the cross who has paid for our sin. And that satisfies him. Amen. Our hearts and minds need to believe this claim of Jesus that they are never going to have a solution for what is troubling them if they don't believe in him. Claim number two, trust in Jesus as God is the only way to access his promises. So, number one, belief in Jesus as God promises intimacy with God the Father, and then trust in Jesus as God is the only way to access his promises. So here's the claim. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, the disciples would have been confused with Jesus as he was saying, I'm going away. So Thomas just asks a basic question, where are you going and how do we get there? Can you give us a map? Does it mean that we're going to have to die? Because you keep saying you're dying. Does that mean we're dying? These are really basic questions. We bust Thomas's chops. They're all the questions that we would be asking. And Jesus' response is amazing. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Here's what Jesus is saying. You don't need to know how to get here through a map because I'm going to pick you up and take you there. I grew up in a small town, Madison, Indiana, and growing up in that small town, invariably someone would come through town and say, can you tell me how to get here? Can you tell me how to get to this place? Often it was downtown or the Lanier Mansion or to the riverfront to watch the hydroplane races, or we had this wonderful thing every year called the Chautauqua. It's an art fair. People invariably would ask how to get somewhere. And today they would tell you to just put it in your Google Maps, right? But back then, here's what people would say. They would often give directions, but even better than that, they would say, scoot over, let me get in, I'll take you there. It'd be weird now. Be like, creeper, right? But it's amazing. You think back in the day, that's what they would do. Say, scoot over, I'll get in, I'll take you there. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, scoot over the things that are troubling your lives. Scoot over the things that are invariably causing you to lose sleep at night. Believe in me, I will take you to where you want to go. That's what he's saying. Believe in me. Jesus is saying, I'm not going to show you directions on a map. Get in. I'll take you. I'll carry you. You see, belief and trust in him means he will carry us the whole way. Jesus is saying, trust me. Trust me. There is no other way. There's no other map. There's no other process. There's no other ascent. Trust me. Christ is everything that we need. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. This is the sixth thing that Jesus has said so far in the book related to him being someone. Chapter 6, verse 48, he says, I am the bread of life. You want sustenance for your life? Come to me. He says in chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. You feel like you're in darkness? Come to me. Come to me. Chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. You want to know which way to go? Come through me. Chapter 10, verse 11, he says, I'm a good shepherd. You want someone to lead you through this troubling life? Come to me. Chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. If there was a claim that we needed more than anything in this time, when we feel like nuclear war is about to break out, we need a God that is transcendent, that in spite of what might happen in this life, in the life to come, we have a God to believe in. Chapter 15, verse 1, he's going to call himself the true vine. Jesus is claiming to be God and to be deity, and access to God only comes through him. This is so important because in the middle of our trouble, our belief system will come crumbling down if you don't believe in him. Hang with me for just a moment. If the basis of the way for you is anything other than Jesus, your belief system, your troubled heart will eventually hit a wall that it can't earn its way over. You see, Jesus is the only thing that will guide us to the way, the truth of God. You can't define truth for yourself. You see, if your definition of truth is confronted with someone else's definition of truth that doesn't agree with your definition of truth, you're left with a human versus human argument. But if your truth is God's truth, you have transcended truth. You have transcended truth that is created by God, is infinite and never ends, and you can always trust it. See, Jesus' truth is a durable truth because it comes from deity that followed through with every single one of his truth claims. So you can trust him. So if you try to define your own way, eventually you'll hit a wall that you can't earn your way over. If you define your own truth, you'll eventually hit the wall of someone else's truth. So you need transcendent truth. And if the basis for life is anything other than Jesus, your troubled heart will eventually come to grips with the fact that you aren't transcendent enough to secure your position in this life or the life to come. You may be able to secure some sort of happiness or joy in this life, but you will never be transcendent enough for the life to come. The truth is that the human heart, apart from God, will do anything to try to find self-sufficiency without him. So Jesus' claims are comfort. His claims are comfort. Why? Because Jesus as the way is comfort. Because through his way, we have access granted to us to a gracious Father. His way is best because his way leads to a house with a room just for us. With a Father who will always be pleased, always satisfied because his Son paid the way. Jesus as the truth is a comfort because through his truth we have stability in a world that defines truth by things that are unstable and shifting and uncertain. And we will stand in the life to come with truth. He is truth. We're going to be standing in the presence of truth, not just reading about truth, not just reading truth, but he will be the light because he is truth. Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life is a comfort, because through his life, we are granted eternal life. An escape from the judgment. Escape from the judgment. See, Jesus' claims make all the difference in life and in the life to come. So to the disciple of Jesus who is here, who is troubled, this is important because many of us are here who are trying to continue to deal with our troubles in ways that don't trust in Jesus. We're trying to deal with our troubles in the way that people who we know who aren't Christians deal with their troubles. We're trying to deal with our troubles through pornography. We're trying to deal with our troubles through eating. We're trying to deal with our troubles through earning more. We're trying to deal with our troubles by spending more. We're trying to deal with our troubles in all of these ways. And Jesus is saying, believe in me. You see, our troubled hearts need to hear Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He has done everything for us. And to us this morning, Jesus says, believe in God, believe also in me. To the unbeliever here this morning, this is so important because there are some of you here today that are troubled and will be troubled, and you are trying to define the way, the truth, and the life on your own terms. And if you haven't hit the wall, you will. And for you, Jesus' statements are tender and kind. He says to you, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You want truth that is transcendent, that is durable in the midst of your troubles? I'm the only way. I'm the only truth. I'm the life. Come to me. Believe in me. To you this morning, Jesus says the same thing. Believe in God. Believe also in God.